Well, let's be turning over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, while we're passing these out and turning over to Romans chapter 8, my wife and I are celebrating our 11th wedding anniversary this weekend. Thank you so much. We are so excited about it. We went to a restaurant and we told them we were celebrating our anniversary, and somebody in the restaurant bought our dinner for us. We were like blown away. And we actually invited the guy and his wife out here today. So hopefully he'll show up, Brian Wiggins. So that was pretty incredible. So we're having a great weekend. So Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Wow. This scripture is saying a lot of spiritual things that's beyond human comprehension. But God tries to put it, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, try to put it in words that we can understand. First thing we really want to hit is talking a little bit about creation itself and how it'll be set free from bondage to corruption and decay. I don't know about you. I kind of get into these BBC programs, these National Geographic, Blueprint Planet. Anybody in here get into that? Really kind of watch that? And is it as fascinating to you as it is to me? And for me, it seems like every time I watch one of these programs, I find out there's something else that exists that I didn't know exists on the planet Earth. Is it just me or same thing with you, right? So I'm just like, the things that God is doing on this planet alone, heaven is truly far above and beyond our imagination, because what we know on this planet and our limited knowledge is kind of finite. It's like, you know what? We don't even know everything that's going on here. I saw one episode where they went hundreds of leagues under the sea, and there's a whole nother world going on down there. I'm like, wow. I didn't know all this going. Places so deep that submarines can't go. They got to send cameras on unmanned ships. I'm like, this is amazing. But God is doing it. It says that the creation itself will be set free from bondage. Now, maybe somebody here who studied this out can chime in right now. I would love to hear some thoughts on what do you think God means by the creation being set free from bondage? Anybody? What does God mean by that? Okay. Okay. Wow. Great thoughts. Yeah. I mean, powerful things here. Let's look at the next point, really. You know, it says freedom and glory of the children of God. Glory of the children of God. There's going to be a glorious day for us. We're going to have glory. Now, we talk a lot about glorifying God, right? And on earth, we talk a lot about us not seeking personal glory and making sure that we give all the glory to God. But God says on that day, we're going to get glory. and glorified. Man, how would that be? Imagine what that would look like. And then says adoption as sons and redemption of our bodies. Now, I don't know about you, but I need this body redeemed. I mean, I need, you know, I got some aches and pains. I played some high school football. I played a little high school quarterback and broke a bone here and there. And when the change of the season occurs, I start feeling some pain in some joints. I mean, some stinging stuff I feel. I got some broken stuff that never got back right. I got a broken finger that was jammed into my knuckle that I asked somebody to pull out. They wouldn't pull it out for me. I had to go get it fixed. It never got fixed. So it's like bent. See that? It won't go back. But there's things wrong with our bodies is what I'm saying. And I just think on that day, God's going to say, finally, you get a new body, a redemption of your body. So I don't know what would that look like, that the earth, everything in the earth is crying out. It's in bondage. It wants freedom. I do know this. There are things on this earth that's living, alive and well. I think the sea is alive. I think everything in the sea is alive. I think there's a lot more things alive on this earth than we give credit. You know, God has life going on here. Let's go on. Let's move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I hope this is exciting for you. And these are powerful concepts, and God is trying to help us explain it. Even when Jesus tried to explain it to his disciples, he had to try to find something on earth that they could comprehend. It's just like a mustard seed, or it's like this, or heaven's going to be like this, like a man looking for a treasure. He tried to give them something physical because it's going to be so lofty, so incredible that they probably couldn't comprehend if he tried to tell them exactly how it would be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is awesome. So now God is getting, through Paul, through the Holy Spirit, trying to give you more of a physical description of what it'll be like. You know, it says that the perishable will take over the perishable. So it's like, you know, your body is a casing, and at some point, that body is going to decay and die. Now, unfortunately, this year, I've gone through a lot of that, but I will say this. Being a disciple of Jesus, walking with God, helps me have perspective. I don't know. I've had 3 deaths in our family this year. Had it not been for walking with God, the encouragement of the scriptures, the promises that we study and meditate over all the time, I don't think I'd make it through this time. But this time, I've been able to be an encouragement to my family because of what God teaches me, that this isn't it for us. We truly believe that God has something incredible in store for us. We truly believe that this isn't the only casing, that God will come and give us a new body. Now, I'm my imagination kind of vivid. I do a lot of drawing. I read a lot of Marvel and DC comics. I'm a nerd, and that's what we do. And If I think that a lot of the storylines in comic books and movies all parallel the story of Jesus, God, heaven, hell, and the Bible. I think they do. I think the whole Superman thing comes to earth to save is Jesus coming to earth. You know, and they use a lot of things from the Bible. And there's always a segment, a part of each movie where some superhero gets a new suit. And all of a sudden he's galvanized and more powerful than before and can do things that he couldn't do. And he goes to a new planet and now he's got a new suit. You know, and I think that's kind of piggybacking off the concepts in the Bible where God talks about us in the afterlife. We're going to have a better body. I was curious. And I was thinking about, it's funny that I was asked to do this. I think it's totally the Holy Spirit that Steve asked me to teach this class, because about a year or two ago, I was really curious about what happens after death. And Dr. Douglas Jacoby wrote a book called What Happens After Death. And there's another book that he has called Heaven and Hell. And it really gets into the detail of how heaven's really going to be and how it won't be any more sadness, no fear, and how we'll be in the presence of God. Just exciting stuff. You start reading it like, wow, you get charged up, galvanized. The things that God, words like glory, splendor, forever, you know, just words that are exciting. Even today, I was like, man, I'm excited to teach this. You know, but it says it'll be swallowed up in victory. What do you think God means death will be swallowed up in victory? Yes. You know, I just think that God is so bigger than what we can really, truly conceptualize. I think it's way greater than what we think. Everything we're talking about is going to be just amplified, immense. It's going to be explosive. You know, you read things in the Bible and you go, wait a minute. So Jesus dies, then he goes into Hades and preaches to the disobedient spirits. Like, wow. Like, what's going on there? Or then when there's another account when he dies, dead bodies come out. You know, the curtain is torn in two. You know, I think sometimes we don't embrace the power of the things that God's going to do. God's like, I mean, I think if God, every time someone saw an angel in the Bible, they were spooked. I mean, I think we got kind of, let's be honest, commercialism of Christianity sometimes even infiltrates our perceptions and what we believe to be true. Sometimes it kind of the nice looking little angel and the little bad devil on the shoulder, that kind of stuff kind of messes with. And that's why it's good for us to go back and what does the Bible teach about heaven? What does the Bible teach about the afterlife? And really be honest with ourselves. Do I truly have a good grip on that? Do I need to study this out? That's why I wanted to make sure we all had our own set of notes from this so we can go back and study this stuff out and maybe look deeper into it. You know, I think if we saw an angel sitting there on the after Jesus had been resurrected, we'd have been spooked too. I think you might sit in there coated in gold armor with a flaming sword. That would spook me. I mean, I used to say stuff like, man, God, you know, Elijah had, you know, a chariot of fire and horses come get him and take him to heaven. I don't want to die. I want a chariot. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't know if I want a chariot of fire, horses come to get me. Hold on. Wait, let me change that up. You know, I'm not going to sit there and be brave enough. A chariot of fire and fiery horses come at me. You know, to pick me up and take me. I'm like, oh, I don't know, you know. And I say, okay, God, maybe give me the death of, who walked with God? Enoch. He just disappeared one day. Yeah, give me that one. Doesn't seem like any pain was involved in that. He's just walking alone one day and everybody looked for him. He's gone. I'll take that death. I don't know about a chariot of fire. I'll be running. I see a chariot of fire horses coming. I mean, but we, you know, we read this stuff and we go, man, God's like, all right, it's going to be powerful. And I think sometimes God kind of opens just a door for us. You know, those things that happen in your life that you can't explain and you're scared to tell somebody that happened. You know, one time I'm driving, I'm like, okay, I'm going to just turn out and get on the road. And something said, no, don't turn, stop. I stopped, and a car zoomed past me going like 100 miles per hour. I'm telling you, had that car hit me, I'd have been gone. And I was like, wow, what told me to stop? Because I was just going right out into the road. I don't know what stopped me. I think it was God. I really do. It's just, I haven't shared that with me. I think this is the first time I ever shared that in a group. But God does powerful things. Let's keep going. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See what more Paul. And these are letters from Paul and kind of how God just used Paul to describe heaven to encourage the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's another powerful, hard thing for us. Brian Wiggins, you made it. There's a guy, he's here. Thank you. But if you missed the story, Brian, I got to put you on the spot, I'm sorry. If you missed the story, you're just getting here. It's our 11th anniversary. And we were celebrating at a restaurant, and somebody paid our ticket, and Eloise was like, Kenny, don't look around. I was trying to look around to see who is it? Somebody might be smiling at us. Who is it? And our waiter said, if you really want to know who it is, the couple behind you. And that's the couple right there, Brian. Welcome. Thanks for being here. Well, thank you, Brian. But, yeah, so it says we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what's unseen. And since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I think that's another challenging concept. It is for me. What's unseen is eternal. What's seen is temporary. That's a tough concept for me. Everything I know is what I see. But God said, but what you see is temporary. What you don't see, that's what's eternal. And now that one I would love some help with, some input on. What do you think about in this unseen world that's eternal compared to what's, I got a hand up already? Okay, right here. Yeah, my mom and I, we go back and forth and we have a debate on what's more beautiful, California or Atlanta. And she goes, Kenny, you got to come to California. Oh, they got roads built throughout the mountains. It's always breezy. She talks about California, California. My sister-in-law, she says, it's beautiful here. And my mom goes, but not California. You got to go to California. In California, it's like this every day. You don't need AC. You have the air. And she talks about, you know. And I said, Mom, Atlanta is beautiful to me. I'm just fine with Atlanta. Look at the leaves, and we have every season here. She said, oh, California, though, Kenny, California. You know, and I heard the story about in this one country, when people would see the sun rise, they would clap. And when the sun would set, they would clap. And I also heard a man say one time that a speaker have to be larger than his text. I'm not larger than this text. I was actually overwhelmed when I was asked to do this class, but Steve put in bold letter, this is not an intellectual study, Kenny. I was like, whoo, thank God. You know, I could just come in and teach straightforward. Guys, but what did we learn here today? And we have more scriptures, and you can look at them in your notes later. What we've learned is, it's funny, the things that you guys said, everything that everybody described as unseen was intangible things and virtues. Like, I was like, wow, somebody said love, a godly perspective, hope. It's funny how in this machine of the world and this physical life that we live, we get caught up in all the materialistic things. And we lose sight of stuff like love, hope, forgiveness, the virtues. And in all the answers here, you said the unseen things are the virtues of God. I thought that was very interesting. It's very encouraging. So what we really truly have to hold on that's going to be eternal is the things that God is teaching us. You see how that works? He's teaching us to love more, to have hope, to think about what it's going to be like to be with him. Some person even said God is the answer. The unseen thing is God is him, God is himself. And these virtues that we described are all virtues of God, right? God says, I am love, right? So let's think of these things. Let's encourage each other with these words as we look forward to our hope. All right. We're dismissed.